You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Sunday morning to everyone, and happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Come on. All the dads in the house. Ayan. So we want to greet you guys an amazing Father's Day today. And we want to let you know as well, if you're a father, you're here in the room, we have a gift for you. So on your way out later on, make sure that you pick up your gift by the door before you leave today. For those of you who are online, grabe sayang. But we hope that you guys have an amazing time today, wherever you are watching today, around the world or here in this room as well. Our Father is a good Father, our Heavenly Father, and He's the one that we honor. So I want to say a quick prayer for our fathers right now. All the dads, if you're a dad, can you stand this morning? If you're a dad, you're in the room. If you can stand up right now where you are, we want to pray for you this morning. All right, let's stretch our hands towards our fathers that are standing around us, expressing God's blessing for them. Father, thank you so much for the love that you have poured out to us, revealing to us your love through our Heavenly Father. Today, Lord, we stand beside, behind, surrounding our earthly fathers, and we ask for your blessing over their life. Anoint them, Lord God, with wisdom, with guidance. Help them, Lord God, to continue to receive provision so that they can in turn be a blessing, reflecting your generosity, your love, your grace and mercy to those surrounding them, especially their children, whether it's biological children, spiritual children, Lord God, God's sons and God's children, wherever, Lord God, that you've used them. Father, we pray that you bless them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless all our fathers. Blessed Father's Day to you. And a couple of things we want to let you know about. Praise reports of some amazing things that's happened in June. We are on our last Sunday, and one of those things is that we finally were able to see people water baptized, man, after a pandemic in a season. We saw this, so 6 people, some of them were from one family, were baptized. You can see it there on your screens. Those of you who are watching, you can see that as well on your screens. About 6 people were water baptized. It wasn't here, as you can see. We don't have any place that looks like that. There is no river running beside ICS. Maybe one day, who knows? But this was in Quezon. This was in Quezon province where the baptism took place by one of our circles led by Tito Egay Gomez. This is GMR circle, also by Pastor Levy. And so we're grateful for the lives that were publicly committed to the Lord through all water baptism. Hey, if that's you, you're a part of ICS Church and you say, hey, I want that. I want to go swim in the ocean. No. You can do that anywhere. But you say, I want to be water baptized to publicly declare that I now belong to Jesus. Let us know. Send us a message, ics.church/connect. Send us a message and we want to help you know what that is all about. Also in June, man, circles are on the move all throughout the city in Metro Manila. Through our partnership with Biyayang Buhay Initiatives, we were able to extend assistance and help once again to different families. You know, it's awesome that we're able to touch 150 families that belong to ICS, but because of the generosity of our partners, we were able to go beyond 150. This 150 people were able to take an extra bag so that 300 families were blessed with these goods this past month. So once again, thank you so much for your generosity and for your giving, both at ICS and with our partners, Biyayang Buhay Initiatives. Let's continue to endeavor to share God's love to those all around us, always, whenever we can. So God bless you guys for doing that. Today, we are starting a new series. It's a 2-part series called Fast Forward. Fast Forward. And the title for today's message is Pause Forward. Pause Forward. But nakakalito, no? That's a little bit confusing. We said Fast Forward, now it's Pause forward. All of us, you know, before we cross the street, what do? We pause. We stop at the curb. We look to the left. We look to the right. Make sure that it's clear before crossing. Those of us who drive, when we reach a crossing, what do? We stop. We pause. Whether there's a traffic light or not, we do that to ensure that it is safe to cross the crossroads before we endeavor to start any project, to start any work, any assignment. What do? We, you already know what I'm going to say, we pause, we stop, we assess, we evaluate, we study what we're supposed to do to make sure we understand it and we implement well, we do well what our task is, and then we go ahead and do it. So this is already something that we do every day, but it's interesting because those of us who are Christians, those of us who follow Jesus, you know, this is something that we every now and then forget to do. We forget to pause, evaluate, and pray. And so we want to remind ourselves in the middle of this year, halfway through 2021, to pause and pray. Pause and pray. There may be so many things happening right now in our lives, in our families, in our workplace, yes, even in the church, that we get excited about, we get overwhelmed with, and sometimes we don't know what to do. It's so overwhelming, or we get so physically tired and we want to just retreat from everything. But if we would pause and pray, I really believe that God can give us wisdom, guidance, and even strength to be able to continue to do what He has called us to do and finish well, finish with success the tasks, the challenges that He has already placed upon our lives. In Matthew 6:5, Jesus talks about prayer. And for those few verses, He says, "And when you pray," over and over again, He says, "And when you pray." So we get the impression that those that were listening to Jesus, He was actually expecting them to already be praying. It wasn't an option that was to be considered. It wasn't something that you can or cannot do. It wasn't optional. It was something that He was expecting every follower, every disciple to actually do. Paul even echoes this in his letter to the church. He says, continuously pray. Pray without ceasing. And we say, is that even possible? Can you actually pray without ceasing? And that's what we want to talk a little bit about today, because praying in the beginning, the middle, and the end, we believe, helps us in life. And not just that, it actually grants us wisdom, sustenance, and ultimately success to fulfill the things that God has given us to do. Why? Because we're not just beings who work. We are also spiritual individuals. We are spiritual beings. And if we are going to experience fullness, success, satisfaction in life, we need spiritual nourishment. And the way to access that is through prayer. When we talk to the Lord, we pray. Yesterday, we had an activity called Me and My Dad. Me and My Dad. This was part of our Father's Day celebration at ICS Church. Unfortunately, it was only done online. So on Friday night, I asked my 9-year-old daughter, I asked her, "Hey, do you want to join this activity?" On Saturday, there's going to be a Me and My Dad event. It's going to be fun. And her first question was, "Are people going to come here? Are we going to see each other?" And I said, "No, it's just going to be online." Oh, she said, "I wish people would come." But it's okay. I still want to join it. And so Saturday morning, I woke her up she got up, wasn't really sure what to expect, but the moment the event started online, she was excited. She was in it. We played the games together. And one of the interesting things that I heard from my 9-year-old was this. At the end of the event, she said, "This is the best Saturday ever." And I'm thinking to myself, man, it's just you, me, and a screen. But for her, it was significant. And that really made me, you know, it just filled my heart. I just felt so happy, so elated that, man, she is enjoying this time, and it wasn't just because of the activities that we were playing, because we didn't win any games. I mean, we probably won 1 point, but that was it, you know? But it was because she said, you know, I get to do this with you. And I'm like, oh, man, heartstrings right there, you know? And it's your daughter. It's different when it's a girl. No offense, Nav. Love you, bro. But, you know, when your daughter tells a father that, and it's like, man, you know, your heart is just full. I told the team this. I messaged them. I said, you know, this is what Ava said about the event. And in many ways, that's how God feels whenever we spend time with Him in prayer. When we talk to our God, not just because, you know, God, I need something. Dad, I need help. Dad, here's what I need. Here's my list of things to do. But rather just saying, Lord, you know, I just like being with you. I just love being in your presence, just soaking up your presence and telling you how much I love you, worshiping you, praying to you. I really believe that's how God feels. Because He loves us even before we could do a single good thing for Him. He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ chose to die for us. Now we weren't worth anything, but God's love was pursuing us. So all the more, once we encounter that love and we say, hey, God, you know, I just love you so much. I want to spend time in your presence. He's just going to pour out His presence over us. He's just going to allow us to feel His love all the more. And you know, when my daughter said that to me, of course, what did I do? I didn't say, okay, that's good. No, I responded by giving her a hug, you know, taking a photo with her, because I was just filled to overwhelming. And really, that's what prayer is. Prayer is being conscious of God's presence, pressing into God's presence. Yes, in times when we are in need, but in times when we just want to say, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to be where you are. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, the psalmist says, because he discovered that there is something about just being in God's presence that somehow fills us to overflowing. So the question today is, why should we pray? Why should this be something that we endeavor to do, that we should pursue to do as an individual and as a church? At ICS Church, we spend time as an entire church to commit ourselves to prayer. We do that at the beginning of the year, when the year begins, and halfway through the year. So this week is that week for us. Beginning today all the way to Friday, we encourage the entire church community at ICS Church to fast and prayer. Not just to lift up to God what our needs are or concerns, but really to intentionally take time just to be with the Lord. Why? Because there's value in this. Jesus did this in the beginning, in the middle, and towards the end of His life on earth. And if we say we are His followers, we need to do that as well. We find this in Matthew 4, when Jesus, at the very start, before He ever preached His first message, before He ever prayed for the sick to get well, before He ever went anywhere, after He was water baptized by His cousin, John. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. So these 40 days were spent not preaching, not in front of an audience, not doing the work that He knew His Father had sent Him to do, but to spend time in seeking God, in asking God to fill His heart. Praying in the beginning helps us to prepare. Praying in the beginning allows us to be ready, to be equipped, to gain foresight and wisdom with a task that God has already set for us. This is what Jesus did before He started anything else. If we're going to succeed in our life today, we want to be sure that we spend time in prayer, that we commit to the Lord our plans and the work of our hands, lest that, you know, it falls short of God's expectation through our own wisdom and strength alone. This is what Jesus did. For 40 days, He was focused on that. And as He was praying, three times the devil came to try to tempt Him, to try to trip Him up. He tempted Him with power. He tempted Him with, enticing Him with the lust of the flesh. tempted him with worship. And each time Jesus responded with the truth of God's word. And this is where the word comes in. We never pray with our own wisdom and through our own will. When we pray, we always want to pray in accordance to the will of God. And this is where his word comes. As Jesus sought the Heavenly Father to prepare him, to anoint him for the ministry that lay ahead, the word of God was with him as well to guide him. Every point that the devil tempted him, he responded with God's truth. And at the end of this 40 days, it was only then that he began to preach. He began to pray. He began to minister and to do the work of the task that God gave him to do. If we are going to succeed in life, in our spiritual walk with the Lord and in our journey with him, we want to be sure that we start the day, we start our life, we start every season that lies before us and bathe it in prayer. Mark Batterson, who is a preacher and a best-selling author, says, when we work, we work. It's all about our efforts. It's all about our ability and our wisdom. And that is limited. But when we pray, God works. And that is humongous. That makes a huge difference. Why? Because then when we pray, it is his presence that goes with us and goes before us. When we pray, we're acknowledging, Lord, I can't do this on my own. My strength, my ability, my wisdom is limited. So when we pray, we are in effect expressing faith, dependence upon our Heavenly Father. And when we do that, when we acknowledge him, he responds by filling us with his Spirit. He responds by guiding us along the way. Why? Because he wants us to succeed. He wants us to know his will. Many times when we try to do that on our own, we fall short. But if from the beginning we start with prayer, then we can be assured, we can be confident that the God that we serve and the one that we follow is with us in the process. Jesus also prayed in the middle. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus prayed in the middle for sustenance and guidance. Once he started preaching and ministering to different crowds, to different people, to different individuals, there was a point where he healed a leper. And he told the leper, do not tell others what has happened. The only thing I want you to do is go to the priest and confirm that you've been healed. Because priests, in that culture, during that time, were the people of authority. So in our time, if Jesus was here right now in 2021, if somebody was healed after we prayed for them, he would say, go to the doctor and get a certificate certifying that you were sick, but you were now healed. So back then, Jesus said, go to the priest and get that, but don't tell anybody else. But you know, when people are excited about what they've just experienced, especially a miracle, a lot of people can't contain it, right? So what happens in verse 15 of Luke, again, a disciple of Jesus who was a doctor himself, writes this down. He says, yet the news about him, Jesus, spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. Now, if you were Jesus, you're like, I just prayed for somebody, they got healed, and now everybody is coming. Wouldn't you be happy? Wouldn't you say, you know what, okay, great, you told the news, now everybody's here. But remember what he told them? He said, don't tell. Now we ask ourselves, why would Jesus say that? Didn't he want everybody to know? Didn't he want people to experience? Well, scholars tell us that at this point in Jesus' journey and ministry, it wasn't yet time for more of the public to know about him. Why? Because there were others who didn't like what he was saying, what he was teaching. And that may cut short the mission that God the Father entrusted to him to do. There were people who were already wanting to kill him. So at this point, it was not yet time. That's the reason experts tell us why Jesus probably said this. And so what Jesus did next was surprising. Instead of actually praying for the crowds, which, you know, in the past, I mean, later on, we would actually see him do that. Very different. This time around, in verse 16, it says here, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He actually went away from the crowd. He did not pray for them. He did not preach the word, but he left the crowds that came. Why? Because that wasn't the intention at that point in time. We can learn something from this. Now, for those of us who are probably introverts, they're saying, yeah, I can relate to that. You know, there's a lot of people, after a couple of hours, I'm just deflated, I'm tired, I want to be alone. Jesus wasn't an introvert. He's not. He was perfect in every way. That means he knew how to relate to people. But in this particular time, he didn't do that. And I believe he's teaching us here the importance of establishing boundaries ourselves. Because we do know another incident, John writes it, where a Samaritan woman encountered him and he prophesies over her and tells her everything that she's ever done and calls her to repentance. She goes to town, tells everybody about it, and then he ends up going to town and ends up staying there for a couple of days. From that story, it tells us that almost the whole town, in fact, everybody got saved because of that. So Jesus doesn't have problems with crowds, but I believe what he's revealing to us here is the importance once we're in the journey, once we are in the thick of things, when we get busy doing the work that we're supposed to do with our family, with our jobs, with our ministry, it is important still to take time to be away with the Lord. Why? Because there's only so much that we can do with our own strength, with our own emotions, like our capacity has limits. That's why at the end of the day, we're supposed to sleep, right? And doctors tell us we need to sleep about 8 to 10 hours, depending on how old we are. Why? Because our body needs to regenerate, to gain strength. Jesus shows us many times, not just in this instance, where he is in the middle of ministry, and that he would go away and pray. When he's already being pushed towards the edge of the lake, and instead of continuing, he would get into a boat and tell his disciples, let's go to the other side. Even while there are crowds still wanting to hear and wanting to receive a miracle from him. Because he knew there's only so much. Yes, he was fully God, but when he was on earth, he was also fully human. So the limitations of this body that was created, he also experienced. The limitations that all of us have, Jesus also experienced. While he was having his God identity, some of his abilities as an immortal God, he chose to withhold so that he can fully assume our humanity. It's a mystery. And here he shows to us, yes, you can be overwhelmed, so it's important to pause and pray, to pause and get away. Well, sometimes we experience that, especially those of us who are in high-stress jobs, right? Many who are frontliners, those of us who are doctors, who are working long shifts, those who are in the call center, who are taking a lot of irate callers. It's important for us to pause and pray. But sometimes instead of pausing and praying, what do people do? Pause and swear. Pause and complain. Pause and, you know what? Get angry. But if we would do what Jesus did, he didn't do that. What did he do? He paused. He didn't rebuke the crowds. He didn't tell them, you know what? I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. Get away from me. No, he paused. He went away to be alone. And then he prayed. He prayed for renewal. He prayed for strength. He prayed for wisdom. He prayed for anointing. We pray in the middle of the things that we are doing for sustenance and guidance. That's what Jesus did. He prayed for sustenance and guidance in the middle of the journey, in the middle of the tasks that he was asked to do, led to do by our Heavenly Father. If he does that, how much more for us? It's in the middle of the year, and there's so many pressures. Sometimes, you know, we're thinking about, man, the business is still not making any profits. People are still not coming back to church. You know, the assignments that I have seem an ending. Even though it's already the end of the school year, there's that pressure. We need to pause and pray and say, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to rely on you to give me the strength, to give me the wisdom, the guidance, so that I could be sustained for the second half of this year, for the next part of my life, for the next season of my journey. I'm going to pause and pray. Sometimes that pause and pray may be 5 minutes, right? It may be 5 minutes. It may be in the middle of the call, and you just have to pause and mute that mic and pray, Lord, give me wisdom, strength, and guidance. Help me, Lord, right now. And then get back to the call. Sometimes it might require an hour in a week. Sometimes an entire day. We might have to do that. Maybe a night or two every few months to get away and just retreat and pray. And in the first century, that's what we did. A lot of the armies that went towards war, that went towards battle, they would fight the war, and if the war was raging on for a while, the leader, the general in the military would say, retreat. Now, many times when we see this in movies, retreat tells us it's defeat. But in military strategy, when they say retreat, it's actually time to regroup. When they retreat, they can regroup, they can re-strategize, they can re-strengthen the army and find a better way, a better solution. So now that they are refreshed after retreating, they will move forward again. So retreat doesn't necessarily mean defeat. Retreat a lot of times means, hey, come back so that you can re-strengthen, so that you can refresh, re-strategize, replan. And when we pause and pray, sometimes for a day, overnight, you know, we take holidays, those are the best times to seek the Lord in prayer so that we will know what to do in moving forward. Jesus did this, and as our master, we take our cue from him. If he did this, then we should probably do this as well intentionally. Here at ICS Church, every month at the last Friday, we spend time to pause and pray. It's called Pneuma Night, and this Friday night, we're going to do that. We're going to come together, and we're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord. Our pastoral team, Mondays are our days off. We don't expect any of our pastors to come to the office or to do any work related to ministry. What? I thought you guys are pastors. We are. But it's important to pause, rest, reflect, refresh, and pray. On Tuesday, when we come together, before we do any planning, what do? We pause and pray. I can stand here in confidence and tell you that we pray for you if you're part of our leadership team. We mention you by name. Why? Because it's important that we do this as a church. We are spiritual individuals. We're a spiritual organization. And if we are going to succeed in the task that God has given to us, we need to do this. Jesus, finally, towards the end of his life on earth, he pauses once again and prays for strength to complete the task successfully. He does this towards the end of his life. It tells us in Luke, again, Luke in chapter 22, verse 39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray. He said to them, pray. This was just before he was betrayed, beaten up, crucified on the cross, and dies physically on earth. What was the last activity Jesus was doing? He wasn't busy, you know, preaching and going around trying to heal as many people. All right, I'm about to go from this earth. I'm gonna have to try to preach to as many people as I can. Now, the last few moments, Jesus spent seeking his Heavenly Father, because he knew from the very beginning, it was the Father that sent him. This was part of the task. This was the reason for which he was sent. This was the reason why he was born and he was here on earth. In the midst of his life, in the busyness of his ministry, the one that was going to sustain him was God's Spirit. So he knew, I needed to call upon the name of my Heavenly Father. Towards the end, he knew, I'm about to return. But to complete the task with success, I still need my Heavenly Father. So I need to go to Him. I need to go to Him. I need to seek Him. That tells us a lot about the importance of staying connected to God through His Spirit and through prayer from the beginning to the middle to the end and everywhere in between. Jesus' life was saturated by prayer. He constantly spoke to His Father. He sought direction from His Father. He sought the empowerment, the leading, the sustenance from His Heavenly Father. If we are going to succeed in anything in this life, as a husband, as an individual, as a professional, as a minister, whatever it is that we're doing and planning to do, we want to be sure that we saturate it with prayer. Why? Because it is there that we experience God's leading, God's guidance, God's wisdom. It is in prayer that we experience His sustenance and clarity for the next direction. It is by spending time in prayer that our hearts, that our faith is built up so that we are able to finish the task no matter how difficult it is. In this final prayer time that Jesus spends, unfortunately, those that He invited to pray with Him were not able to sustain themselves because this was not a 5-minute prayer. This was an overnight prayer. He was praying at night all the way to early morning because He was in anguish. He knew what was about to come. His sweats were like drops of blood. He was so filled with anguish. But when the time came, His betrayer comes. He stood up, woke His disciples up. Guys, wake up. My betrayer is here. And He walks confidently towards His death. I mean, He could have run away. And in His prayer, He said that, "Lord, if it's possible, take this cup, but not my will, Your will be done." Even in the most difficult moments, if we are truly seeking after God, even in the toughest decision, we will know His will. He will reveal to us His will. And when we feel we cannot, it is there that God supernaturally infuses us with His strength, with His wisdom, with His power. But all these things will only happen if we pause and pray. Have you done that today? All throughout this pandemic, have we spent time to do that? We can't tell you how much value prayer is for us as a church. In fact, every week, every noontime, without fail, since this pandemic started, we have felt God direct us to pray from Monday to Friday at noontime. Because we know that the only way for us to be sustained in this life, the only way for us to experience God's success in our families, in our relationships, in our businesses, yes, even in our church, is when God is the one that goes before us. He's the one that's acknowledged as we're journeying, and He's the one that receives the glory and the honor towards the end. Why? It's all for Him. Jonathan Edwards, a very famous American preacher who lived in the last century, said this. He said, "Because I have so many more things to do today, I need to spend an extra hour in prayer." Some of us think, you know, there's so many things I need to do today. I need to get up so that I can start early and finish early and get some rest. But if we don't start with prayer, again, that's going to be all of our efforts. And all of our efforts will always fall short. It will always be wearying. But when we ask God for strength, it is there that He infuses strength to us as He expects us to wisdom, do today. To know how to work well, to discern seasons and times, and make the choices according to His will and purpose. May we gain wisdom today, and may we endeavor to do this as part of our life. Jesus expected it from His followers, so let's do it.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.